morning and happy Thanksgiving, Fairhaven. My name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here and really excited to be here this morning. It's not every week that we get to all come and hang out on a Thursday, right? This is great. I'm excited to be here. And this morning, coming as no shock to anybody, on Thanksgiving, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about Thanksgiving, about what does it mean to be thankful? What does it mean for us to live thankful lives? Because I think this is one of those things, thankfulness, living a thankful life, that is so incredibly powerful. It's so incredibly important. And I think we most recognize the power in thankfulness when we don't feel it, right? When we feel like we're not being appreciated, when we feel like somebody is not being grateful for us or for what we're doing. Anybody ever feel that? Like the people around you aren't being grateful for you? And maybe it's that you live in a home where you have other people there, and whether they're roommates or a spouse or you've got, you know, kids, and you feel like you just do everything. Like that pile that starts in the sink, because the pile always starts in the sink, right? That pile, if it weren't for you, that pile's just going to keep growing. And you feel like you're the only one that's ever trying to bring down that pile. Or you feel like the place is always a mess and you're the one that always has to come around and pick it up. And you start wondering to yourself, like, if I didn't do what I did, what would this place look like? Which is always a bad idea, right? I mean, I think back when I was in college, the first time I ever had roommates, I was living in an apartment with two other guys, and one of them, I promise you, the entire year, that guy didn't pick up anything. And so my other roommate, we at one point got sick of having to pick up for him, so we just decided, you know what? We're going to take care of our stuff. We're not going to touch his. Eventually, he's going to break, right? But man, was this guy solid. Like, this guy was not going to break. And my buddy and I realized our plan backfired when one day we went to make lunch and we realized there is nothing clean in the entire apartment. And now we're having to pick up the pieces again. And I kid you not, we had a glass on the counter that had something in the bottom that used to be some sort of pop that turned into this, like my kids play with slime. Like, it was like this weird goo stuff that we're now hacking out of the bottom of a glass, right? But have you ever been there where you feel like you're doing all this stuff and you feel like you're not being appreciated? You feel like people aren't being thankful. Or maybe you have kids. Maybe you have kids and you feel like you do so much for them. You do so much and it all goes unnoticed and it all goes unthanked. And like, you wake up early to make them lunch and you think through and you plan for the lunch and you make it so like there's going to be that special thing that when they open it, like they're going to see the cookie and go, oh, Mom, like she thought of me. Only to have them come back and be like, really, two cookies? The person next to me had three, right? Anybody been there? Or like, you pick up their room and like, you tell them to pick up the room, but they don't and they don't and they don't. And finally you just decide, you know what? I'm going to do something nice. I'm going to do it. And then they come home from school and that turns out that crumpled up piece of paper in the corner. Yeah, they wanted to keep that, right? And it all comes unraveled. Hey, anybody ever been there where you feel like you're doing all this stuff and you feel unthanked? You feel unappreciated. You feel like what you're doing is not being greeted with thanksgiving. And the thing about that is when you feel that, you're incredibly aware of that feeling, right? Like, you feel that and you see that everywhere. And what's interesting is when we're on the other side of it, when we're the people who are told that we're not being thankful, often it feels like we're completely unaware, right? I mean, have any of you ever been in that spot where somebody's told you that you're not being thankful or that you're not appreciating something? And my guess is that when somebody's told you that, your response wasn't, yeah, you're right, and I was actually thinking about that today over lunch, right? My guess is your response was, what do you mean I don't appreciate? Like, I absolutely appreciate you and what you're doing. And I think what we find, is that often when we respond that way, it's because we're thinking back to what we're feeling, that we might be feeling thankful. But I think we recognize there's a disconnect between what we're feeling and what we're actually showing the people around us, right? Because I think what we find is that often if we don't communicate, if we don't tell people our thankfulness, often what can happen is it can be heard as our being unthankful. That if we don't tell people we're being thankful, if we don't act on that feeling of thankfulness, often it can be heard or seen or experienced as unthankfulness. Which makes me think of a story in the life of Jesus. And so if you have Bibles along, I'd invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. You can turn there in a Bible, you can turn there on a device, wherever you read the Bible. Otherwise, I will be putting every word that we read on the screen. I will be reading verses 11 through 19, but we're going to move through the story kind of slowly. Instead of just reading the whole chunk, we're going to read a little bit, and then we're going to step back and talk about what we've just read, and we're going to work through the story this morning. But before we do that, I'd ask that you join me in prayer. Father God, as we open these words, as we read these words this morning, Lord, we recognize that these aren't just any words on a page, but these are your words to us. And Lord, we just pray that you would open us, you'd open our eyes, our ears, our hearts this morning. We pray that you would speak and that we would be listening. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 17, starting at verse 11. Now on Jesus' way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. So let's pause already. So Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem. He's approaching a village and we see 10 men, 10 guys with leprosy come out to meet him. And I want to talk just a little bit about leprosy, because leprosy would have been devastating in the first century. I'm incredibly thankful that today we live in a day and age when leprosy is basically, we have cures for it. We don't have to worry about leprosy anymore today. But in Jesus' day, leprosy would have been devastating for a number of reasons. First, leprosy would have been devastating because of what it did to you physically. That one of the things that would happen if you got leprosy was that literally the kind of nerve endings in your body would start to die and you would start to feel less, especially in your extremities, so that like if you injured yourself, you wouldn't feel it. And so you wouldn't start to kind of protect what got injured. So you would re-aggravate and you would re-injure. And over the years, the physical effect of leprosy would have been devastating. So leprosy would have affected you physically, but leprosy would have also had a significant social aspect to it. That not only are you dealing with the physical effects, but in Jesus' day, somebody who had leprosy actually had to be cut off from their people. You would no longer be allowed to live in your community. You had to leave your community, you had to leave your family, and you would have to go outside of the village. To the extent that you could not only live with the regular community, but you actually couldn't even associate with, that if you had leprosy and you were coming near somebody who didn't, you would actually have to call out, unclean, unclean, so that the people around you knew, yeah, we don't get near that guy. We don't get close to him. And so what would often happen is these lepers who were forced to live outside of the community, often they would end up kind of developing their own little communities on their own, kind of these things that we knew as leper colonies, where because they weren't invited into any of the regular communities, they would then band together as kind of their own little tribe, their own little community, which is probably why when Jesus is walking down the road and he's approaching this town, he's not just approached by one leper, he's approached by 10. Because if you're somebody who society has cast out, who your community has cast out, you end up kind of coming together and doing life together. And so Jesus is approached by these 10 lepers. The story continues. and says they stood at a distance because that's what you did if you had leprosy. You weren't allowed close. So they stand at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So we see a couple things in this crying out. One, they know something about Jesus. They aren't just seeing some random person on the road. They know him by name. And they know more than that. They call out to him saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And it shows that they must somehow believe that Jesus is actually able to do something about their situation. So they see him. They cry out to him, "Master, have pity on us." And then we see what Jesus responds. When he saw them, so when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Which, on first read, can feel almost like a little bit of a throwaway statement, right? Like, these lepers show up to Jesus, say, "Jesus, have pity on us." And on first read, it can sound like Jesus just basically says, "Yeah, go to the priests. Like, they'll take care of it." It can feel like Jesus is almost deflecting. But I think these lepers know exactly what Jesus is saying. Because if you had leprosy, the only way that you could be declared clean of your leprosy is once you were healed from it, there was in Leviticus 13 and 14, there are actually guides to how you become clean again, how you can re-enter your community after being healed from leprosy. And what you do is you have to go to the priest. The priest has to examine you, and then the priest will declare you clean. And at that point, you're allowed to re-enter the community. So Jesus tells these guys, "Go show yourselves to the priests." But these guys aren't healed yet, right? Like, I don't want to miss the amount of faith they must have had in Jesus, because Jesus tells these 10 guys who have leprosy, "Go show yourselves to the priest," and they would know, just like Jesus knows, that the only way that does any good is if they're already healed from their leprosy. The priest examines them, says, "Yep, you're clean," and says they're allowed to re-enter the community. These guys, still having leprosy, Jesus says, "Go." And they know that if they get there and they still have leprosy, they can't even get close to the priest. They can't even get close to the place that Jesus is telling them to go. And even if they did, there'd be nothing the priest could do for them because they're not clean yet. So the level of faith, the level of trust that these 10 guys had in Jesus, they not only identified him and knew his name, they not only believed he could do something about their situation, but they so believed it that when Jesus told them in the midst of their leprosy to go to the priest, they get up and they go. And then we see what happens. That as they went, they were cleansed. And I want to pause already because I don't want us to miss the power in this statement. Because as they go, they're cleansed. Physically, they're healed. The damage, the effects that leprosy is having on them physically, they're healed from. But it's so much more than that. They're healed physically, but they're healed socially. Now, with the leprosy gone, they're able to rejoin their community. They're able to have families. In healing them of leprosy, Jesus is not only just healing the disease, he's giving them their life back. To say this is huge is to completely undersell it. This is gigantic. And then we see the story continues. It says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And now there's so much going on with that little seemingly throwaway thing about him being a Samaritan that we just don't have time this morning. But 10 guys approach Jesus. All 10 believe that Jesus can heal them, to the point that they take off towards the priest, still having leprosy. All 10 of them are healed. One out of the 10 of them turns and heads back to Jesus. And I love Jesus' response to this. Check out what Jesus says. That Jesus asked this one that came back, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." See, I love Jesus' response. One guy comes back. Oh, hold on. Did it not work for the other 9? Like, are they still wandering around yelling unclean? Like, no, Jesus knows that they were all healed. Jesus knows that all 10 were healed and one of them came back. Which begs the question, were the other 9 not thankful? Were the other 9 not thankful? The one came back, were the other 9 ungrateful for what Jesus just did for them? If we were to chase those 9 down and go, "Hey, so you were just healed from your leprosy, like, are you thankful?" We know how they're going to answer, right? "Absolutely I am. Like, the physical effects are gone. I can re-enter my community. Yes, I'm thankful." The difference is that while all 10 of them would have been thankful for what Jesus just did for them, only one of them put that thankfulness into action and went back to actually say thank you, right? That all 10 of them would have felt it, only one of them put that feeling of thankfulness into action, went back to Jesus and said, "Thank you for everything you've done for me." Which makes me wonder, if we were to put ourselves into that story this morning, if we were to put our lives into that story, which camp are we a part of? Which camp are we a part of? Because just like those 10 lepers, we aren't where we are today. We didn't get where we are today by ourselves, right? Just like the 10 lepers, we've had people who have helped us get here. We've had people who have loved on us, who have supported us, who have encouraged us, who have been there with us. So the question is, what camp are we in? Are we like the 9 who just continue just going on our way, feeling thankful, but not doing anything about it, not saying anything to anybody? Or are we like the 1 who feels thankful and recognizes that this thankfulness I feel, I need to put into action, and I need to go to the people I'm thankful for and let them know what they mean to me? Let them know that I'm thankful for them, for everything they are. What camp are we in? The 9 that keep going, or the 1 who comes back? Who are you thankful for today? Who are the people who have been there for you? Who are those people? And when you think of them, the people that you feel thankful for, do they know right now what you're feeling? Do they know that? And if they don't, I wonder, what might it look like for you today? What might it look like for you this week to actually put that thankfulness you feel into action, to be the one that goes back and lets them know? What does that look like for you? In your relationship with God and all of the things that God has done for you, all of the ways that God has blessed you, are you thankful for that? And is that a thankfulness that you just feel and then you go about doing your thing? Or is that something you've actually put on your lips and you've spent time actually thanking God for all of the ways that you've seen him show up? See, my challenge to us today on Thanksgiving, my challenge is that we would be people. Yes, I want you today. I want you to reflect on being thankful, and I want you to feel thankful. But my challenge is to take that feeling and to ask, what would it look like for me to walk that out? What would it look like for me to actually put my feeling of thankfulness in action? And one of the things I love is we're already seeing some of the ways that we're already doing that this morning. I mean, the corner of our stage is already getting packed with food that's going to leave here and end up at the other way to fill a food pantry in Grand Rapids as a way for us to actually walk out that saying, thanks. But I wonder, what does that look like for you? Who are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And what does it look like for you to turn those feelings into action today and this week? And so we're actually going to create some space this morning for us to even start that work. And so in just a few moments, Moses and Tessa are going to come out and they're going to lead us in a song. And some of the things they're going to be singing are going to be familiar and you're free to join in. But one of the things that I would love for you to do in this time is to start thinking, start processing, start reflecting on who are you thankful for and what are you thankful for. And then after the song, we'll even create a space where we can start the work of putting that into action. But before, I ask that you join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God who is with us, as we'll be reflecting on in the next few weeks of Advent, looking towards Christmas. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us in life, for the people that you've placed around us, for all of the ways that we're able to recognize that you are with us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes to the ways that we can put our feeling of thanks into action. That thankfulness would not just be something that we feel inside, but we express through our words and our actions to the world around us. Lord, we pray for the strength to do just that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.